ready for the word tonight? Matthew. Chapter 24. And verse number 14, Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness and unto all nations, and then shall the end come." We've been talking for a few weeks now about the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? And what we found out is God says once you get born again, you become a citizen of another kingdom. Amen. You don't wait to die to enter the kingdom of God. Once you get saved, you become a citizen of His kingdom and have rights and access to all the power, promises, and blessings of that kingdom. Amen? In other words, you don't have to die to get healed. You can get healed now. You don't have to die to overcome any kind of bondages or addictions. You can get free now, right? In fact, we're going to start very soon our deliverance, you know, drug and alcohol deliverance program, hopefully the 1st of April in that time frame. And so we have rights to live out of this kingdom. So the way we've been describing it, just to kind of refresh very quickly, is over here we've said this side of the sanctuary represents the world system. Over here you're limited by natural intellect, human strength, human planning, human efforts, which is where 90, 95 to 98% of the churches lie. It's their own building program, their own, you know, deacon-possessed church that they're coming up with all their strategies to put together, you know, some type of building program for God. Over here we have the supernatural kingdom of God. Over here's the miracles of God. Over here's the gifts of the Spirit. Over here is life and that abundantly, you know, manifested in your life. Here's everything you need to operate in resurrection life power. And God wants us over here. And we found out when Jesus came to earth, He spent the vast majority of His time teaching about living in His kingdom. He taught repeatedly the kingdom of heaven as if a man should sow seed in the ground. Amen. The kingdom of heaven, you know, operates in this fashion. And it's like leaven sown and everything else. And so He was telling about how to live out of this supernatural realm. He was trying to get people to become aware you don't have to be limited by the natural anymore. Amen. He started teaching about how you can speak to a mountain and command it to be thrown into the sea. And if you don't doubt but believe in your heart those things you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Amen. That you can speak words of authority and see supernatural power manifested. Well, praise God, because I like the supernatural. Not the flaky, you know, demonic stuff, but I like the stuff where God's moving. And what we found out is if you're going to go from this realm over here, limited by the natural, all of man's ability, strength, and wisdom, and charisma, and you want to move over to the kingdom system, there is a crossover point that you must go to. A transition place from one realm to live in the other realm. And that transition point is the cross. Amen? Jesus went to the cross so we could be delivered from our sin. And when you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the greatest miracle you ever know takes place. God reaches inside your heart. He pulls out the heart of flesh, the heart of natural man-made material that's all infused with sin attitude, selfishness mentalities, and He puts you into a brand new heart that wants to live for God, made in the image of God, full of the love of God. We read Sunday morning that the Word says that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love is in you. Why? Because that nature is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you now that you're born again. And that now equips you to live in this other kingdom. It doesn't force you to live in the kingdom. It equips you. Amen. You know, we have this coffee shop inside the church and we have people come in all the time for milkshakes and, you know, cappuccinos and everything else, hot dogs. And they'll ask about the church. They'll see the church. And I'll say, yes, we have a church here, and you're invited. Well, I just gave them access to attend church. Not that they need an invite. We're on the internet. You're invited anyway. But I gave them a personal invite to enter into this church service. Amen. I'll say, we have service tonight at 7 o'clock. Come to church. And so they've been given access. They came to the transition point of coming through the door, but now they choose whether or not to come to service or not. Amen. Well, the truth is, 99% of people that come to our church for milkshakes never come to a service. Unless they're already a part of the church. 99% reject the opportunity of this glorious move of God we're in, right? The milkshakes are good, but we've got even better. And in the same fashion, I believe 99% of Christians come to the cross that gives them access to moving to living out of the supernatural, and they stop at the cross and they never enter in. Access was granted through the blood of Christ, but they never took God upon the opportunity to move on in. Why? Because they either reject or are not aware that they can move in. God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Did you know God's people are the ones that come to the cross? I mean, in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we would say God's people are the ones that come to the cross. God's people are not the ones over here not born again. They're children of the devil, the Bible says. Amen. They're the heathen. But the ones that come to the cross, when they are born again, they become a child of God. Do you see this? And then he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Well, see, the destruction doesn't end in your life until you learn to move into the kingdom. Over here is the realm, and the kingdom of God is the realm where you have power to overcome destruction. Satan cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and abundance." Right? And so the point is at what point do we get delivered from the destruction? Well, here's a key aspect of it. You don't get destroyed from most of the destruction, even up clear through going through the cross. Because sickness can still take you out. Disease can still take you out, even if you've been to the cross. Offense can take you out of the church if you've been to the cross. Amen. Lack can make you suicidal even though you've been to the cross. See, the point is just going to the cross gives you a new nature, gives you the heart of God, and it qualifies you to move to the place that you escape destruction, but only move into the kingdom by faith delivers you from that destruction. And of course, just because you've moved in a little bit doesn't mean destruction is not going to try to visit you. But God's given you promises for every area or open door the enemy would use to try to bring catastrophe to your life or any type of damage. Every area the enemy would attack, God's already given you a promise to escape. Where the enemy would try to take you out with sickness, God's already said, by my stripes you were healed. Amen. Where lack would try to take you out, God says, that he became a curse to redeem us from the curse that we might be made wealthy, right? Every area of oppression, every area of destruction, every area of even threat against your physical harm, Jesus said, "I've given you long life and peace." There are promises provided for every area. And the way that you escape total destruction or the ability for the enemy to destroy you is by receiving the Word of God and applying the promises of the Word in your life by faith. Then a supernatural canopy of protection comes over your life. The enemy can't penetrate, as long as you continue to be led by the Spirit. And so, just because we come to the cross doesn't mean we're going to move into God's best. God's best is only available by moving past the cross. Now, praise God, someday if we all hold on to our salvation, when we die, we're going to be in heaven. And we're going to know God's best, right? But in the process, God wants us to demonstrate, our assignment is to demonstrate now to the world and to the lost and even to the religious that there's a better life available. Now. That you can experience the blessings of the kingdom of God now. And so, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That includes those are primarily the ones who just stay at the cross. We sing the songs about, "I just return to the cross." Going back to the cross. I don't want to go back to the cross. Jesus isn't there anymore. Right. Amen. I'll send my sin back to the cross. But I'm going into the kingdom. We're called to learn to be kingdom citizens and flow in all that power and blessing of that kingdom. But God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But what's the next line say? He says, because you rejected knowledge, Hosea, right? I'll reject you. So God says his people that come to the cross and reject the revelation, they can go deeper. This is, no, I'm just happy at the cross. Just want to set it at the cross. And they reject going deeper. God says, I'm going to reject you. And see, that place of the cross is where a lot of people want to camp out now and say, no, I'm just staying at the cross where all my sins are dealt with. I can do what I want to and just stay focused on the cross, you know, forgiving my sin and never move into the promises of God. It's not going to produce. God has called us to go all the way into the kingdom. So we're spending, you know, this time in this series talking about what it takes to be kingdom citizens. What does the kingdom produce for us? Amen? Because that's where the glory is. If we were to look at God's touchdown points, over here when we were heathen, God sent a baby. Amen? And at that baby, you know, the angel showed up and sang, and the star led the way, and the shepherds saw the appearance of, you know, of the angels, and the wise men came a little bit later, and that baby was God sending a message to the fallen world. Then at the cross, we have another touchdown point of God. Amen? And really, it was more of an uptaking work of God. Jesus goes to the cross to bear sin on His behalf, take our sin upon Him. And now we have God saying, okay, we had a baby 33 years ago, but now we have the manifestation of His assignment to shed His blood for you, and you can now come to that place and experience a new birth that was just prophesied back then. Amen. And there was some level of glory that appeared at the birth of Jesus. There was another level of glory that appeared at the cross. Amen. But there's coming an outpouring of God's glory that's going to be at the place beyond the cross. The place of the outpouring of the end time glory of God that's going to bring in the fullness of the harvest. I believe it's going to manifest the inversion of the wealth of the wicked of the hands of the righteous. It's going to fulfill the vast majority of all the prophecies of the glory. It's not going to be over there to the heathen. It's not going to be at those camped out at the cross. It's going to be on the ones that said, I'm going into the kingdom with everything I've got. And they're the ones that are going to become the glorious bride. Why? Because it says the bride has made herself ready. She's gone beyond the cross. The one that says, yes, I want... Here's what you got to do to move in. You got to say, I believe in the supernatural. There are certain questions you have to... or certain declarations you have to make to go toward the glory. Should we just bring some of them out right now? Declaration number one, if you want to move into glory, of course you got to be born again. Declaration number two is, I believe in the supernatural. I believe in the glory. I believe in the promises. I believe in the power. Declaration number three is, I'm going toward it. And you reprioritize your days, your life, your activities to move toward the glory. And declaration number four is, I'm not going to quit. If you can invoke those four declarations in your life, first one's easy to get saved, right? If you can activate those four declarations, you'll go into the glory. Where people fall is they make that declaration like Bobby Jean talked about. She says, I made a decision and not a commitment. About a fast one time, she went on a fast and she broke it. And she says, well, I made a decision, not a commitment. These declarations have to be commitments. I believe in the supernatural. I'm going toward the supernatural and I will not quit. Right? Because every devil in hell, once you make the first two declarations, is going to try to stop you. And you better hold to the third declaration. And there's not a person in here, if you've been doing this very long, has not been tempted repeatedly to quit. But you come like Peter and the other disciples did when Jesus preached in John chapter 6 about, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and everybody left. He said, well, are you going to go also? And they says, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? We know there's a kingdom to go into. How can I ignore it? See, for me not to go toward the kingdom would be to ignore the elephant in the room. Because I've seen too much. I know it's real. I know it's there. I know God's prophesied it. So the only thing that can take me out of going into the kingdom is withdrawing myself from the Word where God reveals the kingdom to you. Because if you withdraw yourself from the Word, or a church is preaching the Word, or you shut down your expectation for the supernatural, if you do that, you lose your vision of the supernatural and you become focused on the natural, and your expectations all for that, and you withdraw from revival. Did that come together? Did you follow that? Don't ask me to repeat it because I don't even know what I said. The Word and prayer and revival church attendance, praying in the Holy Ghost, maintaining a supernatural focus will keep you going in that direction. But if I decide that, you know, I'm just weary of this thing. Pastor, you know, Chad preached on being weary and well-doing in the offering. I'm just kind of tired. And all I need to just watch 47 days straight of television. I'm going to take a month off of church and I need a good drunk and whatever. And what happens is you start focusing on the world for your satisfaction or your power or your, you know, relaxation, your getaway, instead of going toward the promises. Then you'll stay focused on a direction and you'll go toward what you look at. You walk toward what you look at. When people are traveling in big open spaces, say they're traveling across a desert or prairie area, and people in survival, you know, survivalist training, they're taught, find a point on the horizon far away and walk toward that. Because if you don't have something to focus on, you'll just start going to whatever you're looking at or wherever you're looking towards. Well, I believe God's called us to look at the glory. It is not an accident He put that water tower straight out our front doors for me to keep looking at. Because as long as I focus on the water tower representing God's outpouring of glory on Georgetown, then I'm going to stay focused and go toward that. See, I cannot turn my back on this assignment. Because the water tower stands as an elephant in the room to me. Are you following me on this? And you've got to take enough time to really look at what God said He's going to do in these end times. I could ask a room of 1,000 people, 10,000 people, and say, how many believe we're in the end times? Well, they've read the books on the four blood moons, and they've read about what's going on in Israel, and they've heard the prophetic teachings, and everybody would say, yes, we're in the end times. How many believe we're in the end times? Yes, we're in the end times. Everybody would say, yes, I believe it. What does the Bible say is going to happen in the end of the end times? Something about a tribulation and rapture? No, that's not for us. God's got a whole set of events He wants the church involved in the end times before the rapture ever takes place. Amen. The restoration of all things in our lives. And He wants us focused on that. And so you've got to take time to find teachings or look up scripture that deal with what God has in mind for the end time church. Because if we'll focus on that, and that image will be painted within our minds, it'll stand as our water tower to move towards. How can I ignore the fact the Word says He's coming back for a glorious bride? How can I ignore that? Are we in the end times? Yes. End of the end times? Yes. Glorious bride is there. It's in it. That means God's got to make adjustments in our life in accelerated fashion to get us to that place of being the glorious bride. And natural living has got to start taking more of a back seat. Natural involvement, natural expectation, where we move to this place of really spending enough time in the Word that we become supernaturally expectant. I just finished reading that book of Kenneth Hagin's on love. And I love to read Kenneth Hagin books because he always intertwines so many of his personal testimonies in it. And when I read a Kenneth Hagin book, I always read it and I hear his voice as I read. You may know what I'm talking about. If I read a certain author and I know his voice sounds like, I read it in his voice. I mean, he's been dead for some time now, but I still read it in his voice. And he's telling all these testimonies of great outpourings and miracles and all these things. And as I read these books about the miracles, it creates in me an expectation to go that direction. See, the more books by people that function in the supernatural you can read, the more DVDs you can watch, the more CDs you can listen to or tapes that of people that dealt over in that realm of kingdom operation, the more you can listen to, the more of an expectation it will create in you, and the more you'll be focused on it. And what you're focused on, you'll move towards. But if instead we've got it on Ellen, or I guess Oprah's off the air now, or whatever's on TV, whatever talk show, Conan, I guess now, and all you hear is natural information all the time, then that will create in you a natural expectation. And you'll be acclimated or inclined to go that direction. God gave us available in these end times all these ways of listening to Holy Ghost messages, a divinely inspired media for a purpose. And I believe it's to equip and prepare His end time bride to move to the glory. Amen. And so, Jesus never meant for us to camp out at the cross. He meant for us to follow Him into the glory. Now, think about that for a second. We're to be followers of Jesus. We know after He rose from the dead, He spent 40 days with the disciples, right, teaching them things regarding the kingdom, it says. He told them to go wait for the promise on the high. And then what happened after the 40 days? What happened to Jesus? He ascended. I'm telling you, God has called us to follow Him, to apply the teachings of the kingdom He was trying to get across to us. And there's coming a time a trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to get caught up in the to join Him in the air. We'll have our own corporate ascension, but only as we go toward the glory. We were never meant to live as natural people. We were never meant to camp out at the cross where, you know, we just live like normal people. We just say, well, I'm born again. Again, we had the prophecies at the beginning of service. You know, the one that from Dave Roberson that Mary read. That the division between light and darkness is expanding. See, as long as people are all camped out at the cross and they live the same as the world does, except, you know, they go to church and they try to be nice, there's not much of a division. People can't see much of a change. In fact, the argument I heard for years is, I don't want to go to church because there's so many hypocrites. Because there were people that came to the cross, but they never lived any differently than when they did than when they were in the world. For the most part. But when you get people to move into the kingdom, and over here is life that is absolutely inundated with supernatural manifestation. Here's the glory on your life, divine health in your life, divine prosperity in your life, just joy unspeakable, full of glory. Here is no weapon formed against you prospers. And over here, you got the curse and exceeding great manifestation, because as darkness fills the earth, how many of the curse manifests as well? Remember Isaiah 60? Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And He says, and darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Well, gross darkness is the result of gross wickedness. And how many of the world is moving further and further into wickedness than ever before? Especially this nation. As far as our moral stance. Now again, the greatest blight ever on this nation to me was slavery. Amen. But we've replaced slavery with abortion, embracing homosexuality, pornography just spread all over the place, you know, people sleeping together at every drop of the hat. This nation has gone down the tubes, morally. Amen. Which results in curse manifestation. Which results in gross darkness. So if over here you've got people in gross darkness, and over here you got people in extreme light, joy unspeakable, how many know the difference between the two is going to stand out like never before? And the ones that move into this are the ones that look at it, focus on it, target it, and forcefully move into it. And refuse to quit. Now, let me ask you a question. If I was running a race, and let's say over there's the finish line, and I'm running this race, and I decide about 3/4 of the way through the race, I'm almost to the finish, I decide this is too hard, and I walk back and I sit at the starting line, am I going to win that race? They going to give me the trophy? No. Well, no, I'm still on the track. I'm still in the race. No, you went backwards. You went back to the starting point. And so many people that give up on faith or give up on revival go back to the cross, which is the starting line. You're not going to win. You're not going to be the one that's going to be part of the glorious bride. Hallelujah. Because the bride has run the good race. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. Let's go to verse number 44. Oh, no, let's back up. I just saw this verse jumped out at me. He's talking about the parable of the leaven, different parables being explained. Look at verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's Jesus saying that. He says there's coming a time the righteous shall shine. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, praise God. Don't shut your ears down to what God's saying in these end times. Then he says again, the kingdom of heaven. What did Jesus come to teach? The kingdom. He's teaching the kingdom. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. Now, will you stop right there? It's a treasure. Now, I've always been, all of my life, I've been someone that loves to find treasures. Now, I've never dug up some big treasure, but if I go to an auction, I see something, and they feel what it is, I know what it is, it's a treasure to me. You know, used to go to auctions, I'd find different things, be a treasure to me. Or, you know, some on eBay, oh, there's a treasure. Or, you know, I used to collect coins, so I'd go through coins, and I'd find, you know, a wheat penny or a silver dime or a silver quarter or whatever. It was a treasure. I found a treasure, so I would take that treasure. And I never owned one, but I thought about it. And I don't have time or I would get one. But a metal detector. Because I would just spend time going, I'd go back to Kansas, the Santa Fe Trail, where the Santa Fe Trail was, I'd cover the whole thing with a metal detector. I mean, to me, find an old bullet, that'd be a treasure to me, you know. I found a bullet! You might have to dig up, you know, 4,000 pop tops. Remember the pull tabs? I've used metal detection in the past, and back in, you know, like in the 60s and 70s, and you always just found pull tabs. Pull tabs everywhere. Because they look like rings, they look like coins. You know, oh, yeah, dig up a pull tab. And I always thought it'd be fun to have a metal detector just to look for treasure. Anybody else like to look for treasure? I'm a treasure hunter. Did you see where that guy just bought that Fabergé egg at an auction? They just had an auction, it was in the United States, in Kansas or, I don't know, somewhere in the Midwest area. And this guy that was just a treasure hunter. They sold this gold egg, had a clock inside at this auction. He bought it for $14,000. Because he thought he could melt it down and get the gold, and the gold would be worth $14,000. That's why people were bidding on it. And he took it home, started looking it up, and he did make some calls. It turns out it is one of the lost Fabergé eggs that only 40 were made and only 11 are known to still exist. The last one to sell was not nearly as rare or as precise or as desired as this one. The last one sold was $18 million. They're saying the egg could be worth over $40 million. Bingo! Treasure hunting paid off. Are you following me? He probably going to retire from going to little, you know, auctions anymore. And so here it says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy therefore thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Kingdom of heaven. First of all, let's just get to the bottom line point of this. The kingdom of heaven is something that when you find it, you'll sell everything you have. You'll sell out everything you have to go get it. In other words, once you see there's a kingdom of the supernatural, once I found out it was a supernatural kingdom, why do I want to mess around over here anymore? Why do I want to limit myself over here? You know, 20 years ago when God said, quit your job, it wasn't really that hard a decision for me. Because God showed me a field that has a treasure in it. Now, I didn't know the field would have so many rocks and stones and pole tabs and everything else in it. Amen. Porcupines. But when I saw, when God said, quit your job, it was like, He's letting me go full-time treasure hunting. I get to do this all the time. Well, don't you know you had to leave your job and your salary and you had, you know, a wife and two kids to take care of? Yes, I was well aware of that. But I get to go treasure hunting all the time. And knowing God's kingdom will provide for all of my need.
Yes.
And we'll be better off if I do what God said to do versus try to do it my way.
Yes.
Because over here is supernatural promotion. Over here is supernatural provision. Over here, God can take me beyond what I've ever known over there. Now listen, my income has never touched what I made over here. What I made over here have far surpassed what I've ever made over here in natural dollars. But it ain't done yet. It isn't over until it's over, until the rapture takes place. And I'll assure you what I'll end up with over here, because I sowed that a seed and God's a hundredfold God. He said, don't be weary, or, you know, He's not mocked. You're going to reap. I will see the harvest on every bit of salary I sacrificed 20 years ago for the past 20 years and beyond. Because it's all seed. Amen. Well, we're going to get to a verse on that just to, you know, if we get there this far tonight. Before we're done, we're going to get to some verses to deal with this. The point is there's a selling out required to go into the kingdom. You can't do it like this. Get to the cross and you see the kingdom over there. Oh, there's blessing, there's promises, there's power. And you take your toe and you kind of reach from the cross as far as you can. But don't let go. Don't go too far. People think you're fanatical. You could get carried away. Amen. Get them demon tongues or whatever else could happen to you. And you reach, you touch your toe on the kingdom and say, oh, how's that feel? And a devil stomps on it with everything he's got, because God doesn't mess around with halfway efforts. Devil stomps your toe. Oh, I tried that faith stuff. It didn't work. Now you got to jump in. He sold everything he had to go into the kingdom. Now God will give you taste. Taste to see the Lord is good, right? So you can go to the Benny Hinn meeting and see it's real. You can go to the church service there and see it's real. And God will give you taste. But there comes a time you got to sell out and go into it. Amen. He says, it's hid in a field. Now there's different interpretations of this passage. One of the primary interpretations is that Jesus is the treasure. I'm sorry, the church is the treasure. And all the people are the field. And Jesus sold out. He gave His life to purchase the field to get the treasure, which is us. I don't have a problem with that. Did you follow that? I don't have a problem with that interpretation. But I also believe there's a treasure laid up for us that we've got to sell out to. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's our example. And there's a selling out required for us to go into the kingdom as well. Amen. And of course, we could even liken the Word of God to the field. And if we've been studying the Word, we'll find the treasure out of the Word. But it requires a sold out decision. I'm going after the things of God. Why can't we just kind of go after it? Because the Laodicean church kind of went after it. And the Lord told them, He says, I would that you were cold or hot. If you were cold, I could heat you up. But that you're lukewarm, you're good for nothing. You know, I'm ready to spew you out of my mouth. You're about to be, you know, regurgitated. Trying to keep it presentable. And so there's a selling out required and a dedicating yourself to go into the Word and find the treasures. Put on message after message. Read book after book on the kingdom so God can impart vision to you. Novels, unless they're Christian-based inspired novels, have no ability to impart kingdom expectation to you. They'll actually pull your soul back. They'll pull your soul back to a natural expectation. Natural information will cause your soul to orient toward a natural expectation. No matter how admirable the information may be. But supernatural inputs cause you to be inclined again toward living a supernatural life and going toward supernatural manifestation. Bring in the right inputs. Garbage in, garbage expectation manifests. Glory, prophetic declarations in, glory expectation and moving in result. Look at verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant, man seeking goodly pearls. But when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now again, this is again used many times as a description of Jesus. Found the church as the pearl of great price, sold out at the cross, and he purchased the church. I don't have a problem with that. Amen? But I know some of you, even like I was at some level, before you ever got saved or found out about Christianity, you tried some other spiritual things. And we, Ouija board or something like that, or transcendental meditation, ESP or whatever, you know. And so you know there may be supernatural things taking place. I always loved sci-fi type movies before I got saved. Didn't get saved until I was 30, so I had a lot of time to watch other stuff. And all these things had some interest, you know. Well, are there aliens? You know, what's going on? Are there life on other planets and all this stuff? You know, live long and prosper and. But when I found Jesus in the Word of God, no other pearl was even worth going after. In fact, they all became costume jewelry. And I sold out like you did to go after the pearl of great price. That was to live in the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven's like this, he says. The kingdom's like it. In other words, it requires a sold out effort. Now let me say this as well, otherwise people get bogged down because they went and had fun doing something. Enjoy this life. Amen. Enjoy the NCAA as long as Kentucky's in it. Or whatever, you know. Enjoy it. Enjoy going out to eat. I took my wife out to eat for lunch today and my daughter, one of my daughters. Enjoyed it. Enjoy, you know, the sunshine and fishing and whatever else, shooting, whatever you want to do. Enjoy life. But maintain your focus as going into the kingdom. Amen. Versus so many people, church is just a sideline, something they do because they feel required to do it to maybe make it to heaven. And so the kingdom is something they put a little bit of effort into or time, you know, once or twice a week, and the rest of the week they live with natural expectation. We have got to target the supernatural. When we came in here, one of the first things I want to do is put that sign up on the back. This is Expect Miracles. Because I want us to be miracle-focused. Expect anointing. Expect every time we come in to worship God and praise Him, we expect the Spirit of God to move up. You know what He does? And Friday night, all night prayer, expect God to speak to you. Well, He hadn't yet. Don't stop. Amen. What keeps us from pursuing the things of God is not really believing, not really anticipating there'll be a payoff equivalent to our input. Did you follow me? I mean, I'm trying to think of a civil example I can give. I just keep having slot machines come to me. I never played one, but let's call the kingdom of God a slot machine that always pays off 100-fold. And it pays off not 100-fold on the coin you put in, but 100-fold on all the coins you put in it. Kind of like the story of digging that tunnel Pastor Chad told. And you go to the slot machine, you put in a dollar, pull the handle, it comes up, you know, sour cherries or whatever, and you put another dollar, and you keep putting dollars in. You keep putting in effort. You're doing, you know, you're trying, you're pulling the handle, you're doing it, and nothing's manifesting like you thought it would. Where's the 100-fold? And you quit. And you may be just a few pulls away from everything you've ever put paying off 100-fold. Everything you ever put in paid off 100-fold. It has to, because God said He's not mocked. You will sow, or you'll reap if you don't faint. The kingdom of God always produces. You know, we raised Pastor Bob from the dead back in November. Every seed I've ever sown, every meal I've ever fasted, every prayer hour I've ever prayed, all of a sudden paid off 100-fold. There was a man that was dead that I'm praying for, got my hands on his head, dead, and life comes back into his body. Now, I'm not happy, you know, well, I raised somebody from the dead. I'm happy because Pastor Bob was back with us. And his wife, who's there almost, and you know, she's concerned. She's exercising all the faith she had, but you know, this is a desperate moment for her. And I don't want to ship him back in a box either. And he comes back, it's like nothing mattered right that minute. Father, no matter what I've gone through to get this point, it's been worth it right now. And that's the beginning. That's not even the glory yet. Don't stop sowing. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop pressing in, because it will produce. Don't stop coming to all-night prayer. Oh, that doesn't produce. Hear God versus hear the flesh. And watch God move in your life. Amen. I always think of the story Benny Hinn told. If you've ever read his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I remember reading this when it first came out. And he talked about he got saved and his family persecuted him so bad. Flew their grandmother in from Sicily or wherever, trying to convince him, you know, to give up on this salvation thing. They were Orthodox Greek or something like that. And he wouldn't do it. He'd go to his room every night and pray all evening after school, you know, all afternoon into the evening. And for a year, never heard a word. But he prayed every day. Got in the Word, sought God. And after a year, he goes in again. Now you think after a month, some young kid would have quit. Well, I think I'll go play basketball. No, something had moved in him that knew this was real. And after a year, all of a sudden the presence of God shows up in his room in overwhelming power and says, what would you have me do? What do you want to know? And since that day, the anointing to heal has been on his life, basically. Well, how many know it paid off for him? Anybody heard of Benny Hinn? You hadn't when he was in that bedroom years ago. Had he left the bedroom after a month or 2 months, you'd still probably never heard of him. He stayed until it manifested and God said, okay, now let me send you out with the anointing. Same thing is true for us. God's not a respecter of persons. Just treat the kingdom. Everybody say kingdom.
Kingdom.
Treat the kingdom like the most valuable thing you can possess. Amen. Shall we go on? The man sold out and bought that pearl. Oh, I had a verse I wanted to go to. Let me get there. Matthew 23. You know, I started going through the Gospels, writing down some of these verses, and we're still in Matthew. Amen. Matthew chapter 23. And let's go to verse number 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. In other words, whoever will try to promote themselves will be brought low. Over here in this realm, we have ministers trying to exalt themselves. In other words, they'll try to position themselves to be seen or get their resume out to enough people to be heard versus just pray and trust God to open doors. He said, the one that exalts himself, he'll be brought low. But he says, he that shall humble himself, trust God, shall be exalted. You ready to be exalted? Well, who am I that God would exalt me? Have you been seeking God? Then that's who you are. You're a seeker of God. And God says, the one that seeks me shall find me. And the one that finds him is going to manifest the glory. And the one that has the glory is going to be a light to those in darkness. God's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of seeking. He's a respecter of his word, right? Verse 13, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Now he's talking to the church leaders. It's really not the church, but the religious leaders of his time. We have Pharisees and scribes in the church today. Have ministries, but operate by a religious spirit, a demonic entity that limits them to living out of the natural versus in the supernatural. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. He says, you'll receive greater damnation in the next verse. He says, you don't suffer men to go in. Here's the point. When you're born again, you're not dropped right in the middle of the kingdom of God. He says, you don't let them enter in. When you come to the cross, you're at the doorway. There's now a responsibility to enter. And you want to look at the number one Pharisee move in the church today are those who want to keep people from moving into the kingdom. Pastors, preachers, ministers, that as long as you'll stay at the cross, everything's fine. As long as you'll talk about Jesus being the Savior and Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible tells me so, and we'll keep cross-focused, you'll be embraced by the whole church. From the evangelical church. We're all gathered together at the cross. I'm not going to gather at the cross. I'm going to gather together at the leading edge of what God's doing. Do you follow me? I mean, it sounds so spiritual to say, let's gather together at the cross. Well, at the cross, God made us all even, all equal. But then he said, who will go beyond that point and go into the kingdom? And he says here, Jesus says, you scribes and Pharisees, you seal up the way that men can't enter the kingdom. I thought you said, Pastor, when we get born again, we enter the kingdom. No, we became a citizen of the kingdom. But now there's a responsibility to enter into kingdom living, kingdom mentality, kingdom faith and manifestation. And the number one move against Christianity, I'm talking about revival Christianity today, is the move to keep people from going into kingdom living. You tell people you get saved, oh, that's great. Oh, praise God. Church is good for some people. It's good. You know, it's good to have a higher power you trust in. And you say, and I'm believing God to heal me of all my sicknesses. Get thee behind me. You've lost it. Oh, you're one of those flaky, you've gone over the deep edge people. Well, yeah, and God baptized me in the Holy Ghost. I pray in another tongue. God brought us up to get behind me even further. So let's all gather at the cross except those tongue talkers and miracle believers. Are you following? Everybody's willing to gather until you start talking about living in the kingdom, and then it's all of a sudden you're excluded. Scribes and Pharisees today, still, not the Jewish leaders, I'm talking about scribes and Pharisees in the church today. Those religious mentalities still want to keep you from moving in. Why would they want to keep you from moving in? Why? Why wouldn't they want you to go move in? Because if you move in, it's going to be evident they've missed it. Because that's what happened with Jesus. When Jesus started manifesting the power of God, they said, if we don't do something about this, all men will follow him. In other words, if we don't shut down this teaching, it's going to be evident to the people he's got something we don't have, and they'll follow him instead of us. They'll know we've been wrong, or we've been limiting them. So we got to shut down the one with the truth versus follow the truth into where he's going. And the same thing exists today in the church. Because they don't want to make the changes or shifts necessary to follow us into the kingdom, let's kill the spokesman. Do you know the devil again is still happy for you to stay at the cross? It's when you start to move into this realm, you become a threat to him, and he's got to try to stop you. And he's going to use people. He'll use oppression. He'll try to manifest symptoms. Aren't you glad for the covering over your life? The symptoms, if you stay in faith, the symptoms can't touch your life. Stay under covering. But the devil will try to take you out any way he can. He's even happy if he can drive you just back to the cross. If he can get you back in a denominational dead church, he's happy. If he can get you quit confessing the word, praying in the Holy Ghost, believing the prophecies, he's happy just to get you to quit. Why? Because you're no longer a threat. Jesus came to teach us how to move into this kingdom. Amen? Matthew chapter 13, with this in mind. Oh, we're still, yeah, Matthew 13. I was just there, wasn't I? Matthew 13 again. This time, let's go to verse number 51. Jesus saith unto them, to the disciples, have you understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. They were probably lying. Can you imagine standing before Jesus? Did you get all this? No, I didn't get a thing of it. You're going to be, oh, yeah, 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 I got it. Oh, yeah. They said, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, remember the scribes and Pharisees? Every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, instructed in the kingdom, is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now here we see a scribe that's gone beyond being one limiting people. This is one instructed in the kingdom, right? And this one brings things forth things that are old and new. Now, this has been interpreted, and I don't have a problem with this as well, that, you know, he brings forth revelation out of the Old Testament and revelation out of the new teachings of Jesus. Amen. He understands the Old Covenant, but he moves into the New Covenant. I believe that's perfectly fine to interpret it that way. Amen. But he's always pressing toward the new without letting go of the old. Except unless the old is in error. Sometimes you got to let the old go because it's wrong. But other times there are old truths we have to hold to move into the new. Like prayer and word and fasting and sanctification. Amen? A scribe, does anybody know what a scribe does? They're record keepers. Scribes kept the records. And understand, you know, we would call them bookkeepers or, court recorders, accountants or, county clerks that write down the records of everything. And scribes are required to keep accurate records. Amen. You want what a scribe writes down to be accurate. And it says the scribe that is getting a hold of the kingdom of God brings forth things that are old and new. So as he's moving into the new, he makes sure it lines up to the old. Now there's a point I want to bring out of this. He doesn't ascribe to the latest, greatest fantasy revelation out there. He makes sure because he spent time in the record, the word, that when something else is being proclaimed, this is the way walk you in it, he makes sure it lines up with the revealed word of God so far. Amen. Because when you get in the kingdom, or people get a hold of the possibility there is a kingdom, sometimes they get on these tangents and think, well, there's the kingdom over here, and they get off on this fantasy trail that God's not leading them into. And because they were not a faithful scribe holding to what God's already taught in the old, there's nothing to anchor them in the right direction they're supposed to go. For example, if somebody comes and says, well, everything was finished at the cross. We're under grace now. Now that we're under grace, God can't see your sin, because the blood covered the sin. And because God can't see your sin, God will never convict you of sin again. And all you got to do is know that God loves you. And because you know that God loves you, we'll just go straight into the Lord because we know God loves us. Yet there's not an anchor of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to tell you, you're getting off track at times when you are. We're doing the marriage conference next Monday and Tuesday. And I was online a couple nights ago. In fact, I can't wait to talk about this marriage conference. I've been reading different articles online, reading books about marriage, trying to see the direction God would have me go. And about two nights ago, he said, I don't want you to get it out of a book. I want you to go into something new about marriage. I want you to talk about what it takes to have a successful revivalist marriage. Because most of the people with the marriage books weren't revivalists. If you follow me. And a revivalist marriage is different than a non-revivalist marriage. I'll tell you that right now. Challenges are a whole different level. And so I got up and I started writing stuff down. But before I'd been reading articles. And I wrote for 2 hours nonstop the other night, middle of the night, like from 3 to 5, just writing stuff down. And I felt like God was just downloading to me. But I'd read an article written by this lady who does marriage seminars. And in her article, she was telling myths in marriage. And she said, one of the things that we teach an error in the church, and it's totally wrong, she says, is that if you're engaged, you can't have sex. I said, do what? I got to see what she's talking about here. He started talking about in the Bible, the word betrothed means engaged. And the Old Testament talks about that, something about, I forget the example she used, didn't know it was going this direction tonight, but about someone that being betrothed knowing their wife. Well, that's totally taken out of context and totally misapplied. Because Joseph was betrothed to Mary. And apparently they'd not had relations. Because when she was with child, he had a concern. If they'd been having relations, he just said, oh, well, hey, here we go. Here's a woman teaching marriage seminars, telling people if you're engaged, it's okay to have sex. I bet there's guys got 47 rings in their pocket going all through the bars now. Marry me. Let's go to bed. What happened? What is that? What is that from? Getting a fantasy type revelation, not grounded in the old, trying to go into something new. And all of a sudden the whole rest of the church that knows it isn't right has missed it. We have got to be word people to go into this glory. Amen. That are grounded and settled in the Word of God. Now, my goal in this series is we gain a revelation of just how close and available this kingdom is. And we choose not just to claim a promise now and then, well, I'm just decided I'm going to be healed. Well, I believe I'll sow a seed to be prosperous. It was never meant to be like that. It wasn't meant to be we live in this kingdom. We live in this realm of kingdom expectation, kingdom input, kingdom anointing coming on our life. Because it's not going to be the ones that learn how to claim a few promises going to glory. It's going to be the ones that learn how to live in this kingdom. I'm going in. How about you? Father, we thank you for your word. Seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Cause us to rise up and be the carriers of your end time glory you've prophesied about. We recognize the darkness covering the earth and gross darkness of people. Cause us to shine forth as the ones that the harvest will be attracted to. Let your power to open blind eyes, deaf ears, cause the lame to walk, to raise the dead, cleanse the leper, deliver those in bondage to anything beyond our lives, that they see we are the ones that are following God. I thank you. I give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'll be up there to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing.